You have more influence than you think, Chapter 7, Seeing, Feeling, and Experiencing Your Influence Over Others. What is the best way to illuminate our own influence over others, which often seems invisible to us? How can we feel more confident about asking not only for things we need, but also for things that might make our lives easier or bring some joy? And at the same time, how can we become more attuned to the ways in which we may unintentionally impact people by making them uncomfortable or making their lives harder? The three main goals for all of us are to get better at seeing, feeling, and experiencing our influence over others. In order to see your influence, you have to get out of your own head. Studies show that when we recall a time where we were angry or an embarrassing incident happened, we look at it from first-person perspective much more. Our default way of seeing the world can make us oblivious to our own role in eliciting others' behavior. When we view the world from inside our own heads, we see only what people around us are doing, not what we are doing that might be causing them to behave in a particular way. Recent research suggests that attempting to visualize an interaction from a third-party perspective may help us get out of our own heads so that we can see the broader context within which the event is unfolding, which in turn will help us recognize the impact of our actions on others. This being a fly on the wall or visualizing from, quote, God's eye view changes the way we make meaning out of the events we imagine or experience and see the broader context within which our actions are taking place. Picturing ourselves from this third-party perspective allows us to see our influence on the people and systems around us. Adopting a third-party perspective helps us see the bigger picture in which a criticism or concern is being raised so that we can understand the other person's point of view and choose how to respond. But all this is only the first step, which is seeing our influence on others. We also need to feel our influence by getting perspective, not just taking perspective. In other words, we need to understand how our actions actually feel to others. So not only must we get out of our own heads, but we have to get inside the other person's head. In How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie said we should, quote, try to honestly see things from the other's point of view. But studies show that simply trying to understand another person doesn't actually help us understand them better at all, in terms of their feelings, attitudes, or preferences. Trying to see things from another person's point of view can motivate us to cooperate more and to reduce prejudice and to empathize with other people. But in terms of getting perspective, of getting to the truth of what they think, and particularly what they think about us, it doesn't really help. What's much better than taking a perspective about the other person is actually getting a perspective from the other person, like getting more information about their thoughts and feelings. You can simply ask them, what are they thinking and feeling? We tend to underestimate the importance of this because studies show that people think they're accurate when they use their minds to understand what someone else is feeling and thinking. They think they're just as accurate as if they asked the person, potentially. But that's not the case. The difficulty of getting into other people's heads and our inability to recognize the limitations of trying to do so from perspective taking alone are major reasons why we underestimate our influence over others. So instead, we must proactively gather external information. Having shared a common experience with someone else can sometimes make us more attuned to their thoughts and feelings, yet other times make us less so. For example, if you had endured bullying without lashing out, then you'd be more compassionate to someone else who endured bullying without lashing out, but you'd be less compassionate towards that person if they did lash out. So personal experience can help us better understand someone else's perspective, but only if their way of responding is an experience that mirrors your own. So drawing from our own personal experience is still presuming to know what someone else is thinking rather than actually knowing what they're thinking and feeling. We must listen to other people. We must hear their stories. But it's not always possible.
Sometimes you get information about how your actions impacted someone well after the fact, or it may be unrealistic or unfair to put the burden on them and imagine and let them speak up in certain situations. So we need to find other ways to listen, like reading Me Too stories, even when they may make us sad or uncomfortable. The third and final goal is to actually experience our influence. Certain people have become famous in the use of rejection therapy. In other words, trying to get rejected every day so they can overcome their own fear of rejection. And of course, they have to keep upping the ante and asking for ridiculous things all the time. And one guy said he, quote, could fulfill his life dreams just by simply asking, and he thinks everyone should do this. When people learn that other people are much more likely to give them the things they ask for, they get a kind of aha moment. But does it work as well for minorities and women as it does for white men? While it's true that both men and women who have asked strangers for favors in the author's studies have for the most part underestimated their likelihood that people would agree to these requests to a similar degree, it's also true that gender differences account for what the participant learns during rejection therapy. Women are more aware of the pressure they put on others, and men might wonder what they could have done better to make the other person go along with their requests. And this may or may not be 100% accurate, but we shouldn't assume the lessons people will learn from any particular experience will be universal. If people are so willing to agree to our requests, why don't we know that already? Why haven't we learned to just worry less about asking people for things? It's because we have a negativity bias. It means we tend to forget all the mundane requests that people agree to, and we remember every little rejection, on the other hand, in great detail. This is a substantial part of why we underestimate our influence over others, because we tend to remember our failures a lot more than our successes. It is important to recognize that experience isn't infallible. Like, experiencing our own influence over others doesn't necessarily always lead us to correct conclusions about human behavior. For example, all the people who asked for things, who were instructed to ask for things in the studies, like writing the word pickle in a library book, they might conclude that they had gained some sort of insight into the morality of the human race, but they would be missing the more important insight, was that it was harder for people to say no to them than they had thought. But experience can be a powerful tool for appreciating the influence you have, just as those who did the rejection therapy found it to be transformative. But just remember that sometimes personal experience can be misremembered and misinterpreted, which means it might not lead us to the ultimate truth. More than that, doing simple things like going out and asking for something or giving someone a compliment can teach us simple, straightforward forms of influence, but that doesn't necessarily equate to learning how to use our influence wisely. You should go out today and ask someone for something or give someone a compliment. But in addition, you also need to get out of your own head, get perspective, and reflect on your experiences. Experience alone is not enough to gain insight into all the complex and underappreciated ways that you regularly impact other people. So again, you need to see, feel, and experience the influence you have.